This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Agriculture is now looking ahead after outgoing President Trump abruptly reversed course again and signed the massive stimulus bill and spending package, providing billions for producers and nutrition programs. Now that the $26 billion are more split evenly between producers and nutrition aid, plus $7 billion for broadband is on its way, agriculture is preparing and focused for the new year, according to American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley.
This is definitely a good, I don't want to say Band-Aid, but definitely a good stepping stone into the new year to see where we're at in a few months. There's obviously unresolved issues out there with liability protections for businesses and the whole issues with state and local government.
A partisan funding fight is still unresolved, but the now-signed bill sweeps those left out of earlier virus bills, including contract growers and those that had to depopulate herds earlier as infected packing plants curtailed operations. There's also more help for cattle and dairy producers and processing plants, plus renewed small business grants and loans. The ethanol industry, ravaged by the pandemic, depressed fuel usage to the tune of some $3.8 billion, is now made eligible for help from the Commodity Credit Corporation, but still only at the Ag Secretary's discretion. Renewable Fuels Association CEO Jeff Cooper expects this and other issues will come up again.
Well, we certainly don't expect that this will be the last coronavirus relief package. And we have heard President-elect Biden and members of Congress say that this will continue to be a priority for them when they come back for a new Congress in the new year.
Cooper says the ethanol industry has a long way to climb out of the hole that COVID put it in and may need more help. Plus, there may be new opportunities.
We also know there's going to be a real focus on infrastructure and climate. And there could be some sort of tie-ins or overlap with those efforts and what may come of new COVID relief legislation in the new year.
The industry will get help, though, from tax break extensions and a separate part of the virus package, including a credit for second-generation biofuels. Also included are excise tax credits for alternative fuels. Southern Brazil saw some moisture over the Christmas weekend, but drier weather is continuing to return to the region as 2020 winds down. An Agriculture.com article says the drier than normal conditions will stretch into Uruguay and eastern Argentina through January 3rd. Expected weather concerns will likely continue to put an upward pressure on corn and soybean prices. A strong La Nina will remain in place and will continue in the southern hemisphere through next summer. During those La Nina events, the Brazilian monsoon season tends to be delayed, which can lead to suboptimal soil moisture for the country's more important crop-growing regions. The wet weather appears to be delayed so far. However, the influence of La Nina often decreases during the month of January as smaller-scale atmospheric processes increase their influence over the precipitation patterns in Brazil that could lead to an increase in moisture heading into the later stages of January. Back to news here in the States. Global grain stocks will likely be about 1.5% higher than last year, reversing the downward trend over the last few years. Despite the rise in global supply, USDA forecast higher corn, wheat, and barley prices than in the 2019-2020 marketing year. The average corn price is projected at $4 a bushel compared to $3.85 the prior year. The average wheat price is forecasted at $4.80, up from $4.60 the previous marketing year. And the average barley price is projected at $4.75, up a nickel from last year. Feed, food, and export markets for corn all promising for this coming year. U.S. corn exports were up 49% in 2020 to 67.3 million metric ton, a huge boom to the markets and growers. On the corn import side, demand by the top seven importers is up 9% this year compared to declines in 2019. Imports of corn jumped 71%, which the Capital Press article says definitely tells the story. China also played a big role in the wheat market, with their imports of up to 47.8%. Demand for wheat by five of the biggest importers was up 5% this year compared to a 2% increase in 2019. Dr. Dan O'Brien is a professor with the Department of Agricultural Economics at Kansas State University. He recently wrote an article on soybean exports and the potential impact they could have on prices during the next year. He says overseas demand for soybeans is likely to be strong, but the challenge is the U.S. might not have enough soybeans to meet demand.
The main issue that's a surprise to this market is how tight the stocks are and stocks to use. The USDA came out in their December 10th report, projected basically 3.9% stocks to use, 175 million bushels. And you're getting awfully close to where we were back in 2012-13 when we were around 100 million bushels, and down the minimum we'd had was 2.65. The thing that strikes me is that there's the possibility of pretty strong export demand, particularly with dryness down South America.
He says finding any extra soybeans to export would mean a lot fewer beans available for domestic use.
You know, when I look at the scenarios of where we would go if we had to draw more than the USDA's projection of 2.2 billion bushels, well, there's hardly anywhere to go. We would literally have to start cutting back domestic crush to go much higher with exports. It looks to me like you could keep the USDA's balance sheet unchanged across the board except for adding 50 and then 100 million bushels to their projection. And basically you get down to 125 to below 100 million bushels, down to 75. And we're teetering on that edge.
O'Brien says if the U.S. does try to pull all the extra soybeans it can find, prices are going to immediately jump higher.
Economists talk about inelastic parts of the demand curve. We're sitting there at 1055 at 3.86 stocks to use, unheard of to where we thought we might be a year or so ago. If we try to crunch this thing, tighten it up even more, and basically get the brooms out to sweep around the inside of the bin to get everything, we're at the place where, instead of 1055, if we had to go there, you're jumping up pretty explosively up to $12, up to $13, et cetera. So, you know, nobody wants to be an over-panicker on these things. But the USDA didn't raise that number, I would contend, because they didn't have much room to raise it at all.
If soybean prices keep going higher as a result of demand, O'Brien says that could mean we're in for an acreage battle heading into next year's planting season.
I don't doubt that there will be with prices like this for beans, and the corn folks don't want to, quote, be left out. When you look at the type of prices that we're seeing for new crop bids for corn versus soybeans, here we have Dease corn. Last I looked, it's been trading around 415 to 420. November soybeans, about 1080 to 1090. What I'm saying is if we continue to have strong demand pull from China, other parts of the world for soybeans, and we start to jump 50 cents, a dollar higher for beans, then you're right square in the psyche and decision-making framework of our farmers.
Again, that's Dan O'Brien with Kansas State University. And in other market news, the soybean market made a big jump yesterday. For this grain report, we joined Carl Setzer speaking at the close of trade yesterday, Tuesday.
Boy, you want to talk about a surge in soybeans, 52.5 cents from yesterday's low to today's high. That market stopped at 1299.5. Synthetic trade showing us about 3 cents higher than that, breaking that $13 mark. Now, we'll have to see, obviously, if that verifies tomorrow. Again, we had buyers showing up today, huge volume late in the day. March soybeans, 149,000 contracts, open interest at 400,000 contracts in the March. Definitely something we'll have to keep an eye on. I realize we've got two full sessions ahead of year end, but to see a little bit of profit taking would not surprise me. The same old story, though. We're trading on South American weather. We're trading on the Argentine strike. Two ways of looking at it. One way, we need to ration U.S. soybeans. On the other hand, the trade wants to encourage more plantings in South America. And with the rains taking place in areas down there, this higher futures will get that done. The question is when this market's going to start encouraging more plantings in the United States. A $2 inverse from March soybeans to November is not going to get that done. And a price ratio between corn and soybeans at 2.6 to 1 is not going to get that done. We're going to need to see more strength in them new crop contracts. The question is, when does it develop?
January beans at Tuesday's close ended the day at 1295.5, up 40 on Tuesday. Soybean prices haven't been at that level since the summer of 2014. We'll see how they finish today in roughly a half an hour right here on WSMI AM and FM. They were trending lower in today, Wednesday's trading. Finally, in local agriculture news on this Wednesday, The Central Illinois Food Bank will be having a drive-up food giveaway starting in just a matter of moments here. It'll start today at 1 at the Carlinville Plaza in Carlinville and will last as long as their supply does. It's open to everyone. No registration is required and no financial eligibility requirements are required either. But they do ask you to please wear a mask and clear a space out in your trunk or the back seat of your vehicle to ensure everyone's safety. Again, the Central Illinois Food Bank having their drive-up food giveaway today, starting in just a matter of moments here at 1 o'clock in the Carlinville Plaza. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Wednesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Wednesday afternoon, December 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.